This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 285. We're continuing on the X-Men franchise, and we're up to X-Men Apocalypse from 2016. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is...
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, so we got another host for this one. It's one of our good friends, and he does really old movies over at Really Old Movies on YouTube, and of course, podcasts, right? Podcasts?
Harrison? Yep. It's also a podcast.
Yes. Let everyone know what you do before we get started.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm Harrison Scullin, Really Old Movies. I talk about old movies from 1890 to 1965, and I do audio versions, video versions, sometimes live streams, and Letterboxd reviews, kind of pretty much everything you could think of in the YouTube space I'm doing, but for old movies.
Okay. Yes. Nate, you ready for the first question? Let's get to the first question, because this one is a controversial film. I think this starts the controversial of X-Men movies. All right. When you came out of the theater on this one, what was your actual initial thoughts? And you too, Harrison, if you've seen this when it came out or whenever you first saw this movie, let us know. All right, Nate.
I saw this at the theater and I did not like it when I walked out of the theater. I was like, what the crap? Like, this movie, especially coming off of First Class and Days of Future Past, I was like, what is this? So I was not a fan of this film. I actually have not watched it since 2016 when it came out. I never went back and watched it because I just was disappointed in it. And I remember it being long. I was like, why is this so long compared to all the other ones? So those are my thoughts.
Okay, Harrison.
Yeah, I also saw it in theaters in 2016. I was a senior in high school and it was a pretty big fan of the X-Men movies, and yeah, I was pretty disappointed too. I was like, what the heck did I just see? Like, this is awful.
Yeah, and the thing we want people to understand here, Harrison reads comics.
Yes, I do.
He reads the Marvels.
I do read.
Yes, he knows how to read. Unlike some people on the show, me.
Yeah, starts with an N and ends with an E.
Can't read. Is that how you spell it? I can't spell either.
Yeah.
I just know my name. I don't know how to spell it.
Yes. So, well, my initial reaction is the same as you guys. I went to the theater. My wife went to, we were together married. And we came out and I was like, what is this crap? Like, what did I see? And you're right. Coming from the other ones, you're like, this is not as good. Mm-hmm. But did the tables have turned? We're all older men.
Yeah.
We're all married except one.
Yeah.
Did our mind frames change? Did this movie change once we did our second rewatch of this X-Men Apocalypse? Now, let's get into some financials here, okay? Because the budget for this movie was $178 million.
Okay.
For a worldwide total of $543 million, so it made their money back.
That's not bad.
It did, yeah, but going by our new math that I discovered online, doubling the budget, it did make profit. I mean, not crazy money, not like the last one, but but it still was not a loss, probably. With marketing, it was not a loss.
And then if you add in purchases at the time, which were Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah. If you do discs, you know, it's profitable for the studio. Right. Yeah, it made them money.
Yeah. So, all right, so let's get to the Rotten Tomato scores, see what the critics and audience have to say about Apocalypse.
We'll see if these reviews made them money. I'll tell them right now. No, I think this is one of the lowest. This is actually critically, this is the second lowest, I think, of these ones that we've done. 47% critic score for X-Men Apocalypse. So not amazing. The audiences still carried the flag for this one. It is over the threshold. It's a 65%. So still not great. I mean, you know, Alex, we talked about the last episode. That thing was double 90s, right?
Yeah.
Days of Future Past. So this is a steep decline from that movie to this movie.
Very steep decline. Now, Harrison, what do you think of those Rotten Tomatoes scores before we start with the review?
I think it's kind of understandable. You know, the audience score makes sense. They're still having high hopes. Oh, yeah, Days of Future Past is great. Yeah, maybe this one will be too. And maybe a little rose-tinted glasses.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know, but I agree with those.
All right. Well, let's get right into this review, because honestly, I really want to see what you guys really thought on the second time. Now, we all said it sucked the first time we saw it.
Yeah.
I want to see now where it does. Do we all still think it sucks? Let's see. Main character, okay, is the X-Men, is the entire X-Men again. All right, so let's start it off. Harrison, you go first, because since you're the host.
Since you're a ghost, go ahead and let us know what you think.
The special ghost. Since you're the special guest. You go first.
All right. So, yeah, I kind of graded it as an ensemble. I gave it a 3.5 out of 5 because I still think that, you know, I thought that like Magneto and all of them, they're kind of the main characters still. I thought they were fine. It was just the additional characters, you know, the new Scott Summers, right? Yeah, new Scott Summers, new Jean Grey and all of them. I'm not a huge fan of any of them. Mm. And to me, we spent a lot of time with them and it really brings the score down because I'm wanting the original cast. It's like, we should have had this with the original cast, like all this storyline and whatnot. Yeah. So that's why I gave the main characters are 3.5 out of 5.
Yeah, that's something we talked about. I think it was last episode Nate brought that up. Everyone's going to be used to the guy who plays Cyclops and Jean Grey. All right, Nate. Yeah.
Well, I'm a little higher than Harrison by a whole 0.5. I gave it a 4. And this is coming off 2 straight 5s. So this is a downgrade. Yeah. Let's just start there. The main reason is there is no one that you can really attach to as a true lead in this film. And I think it hurts it overall because even though it's an ensemble, there's way too many characters. There's way too many of them. And at least in Days of Future Past, you have Wolverine. He's like the main guy. And then you have the ensemble. In Days of Future Past, you had Xavier and Magneto, both. Like they carried it and everyone else was there. Whereas here, like you're going with Mystique sometimes. Then you're meeting Nightcrawler. Then you're meeting the youngster. Scott gets his own introduction. Jean gets an introduction. Magneto's there. But he's bad, but is he good, but is he bad? Like it's, and it takes a long time for things to get settled. That for me, I still think Michael Fassbender's amazing in this. I still like James McAvoy as Professor Xavier in this, but even him, and maybe you'll agree, Alex, when you go, he felt a little sidelined because there is so many characters that it affected it. So I still like the casting. I actually like Ty Sheridan as young Cyclops, but I do not like Sophie Turner as Jean Grey. I'm not a fan, honestly. I love Game of Thrones, but I never liked her on that show either. So I'm not a fan of hers. I do like Ty Sheridan, though. I think he's a good actor. I liked the cast, so I gave it a 4.
I do agree with you. Well, I gave it a 4 also.
Yeah.
I was going to hit the 5 because, man, I was like, my boy Cyclops is back. But
yeah, that's your point.
I mean, in reality, once you started to give your thoughts and everything, and then it did make sense because, honestly, they did to Professor X what they did to Professor X throughout the original older movies. Mm. Like, he was a side character. Like, I mean, this dude is, like, the most powerful mutant within the team, and he still gets the shaft in all first three movies. And he gets killed in the third. So you're like, crap. So, well, him and Scott, which is kind of funny.
Yeah. So
it's like the worst. But when you look at this, I agree. There was so many characters, but I kind of like the origins of some of them. Like Scott's origin to me was kind of weird because I was like, again, we're going with the comics where Scott was one of the X-Men, the first X-Men, but his first brother, like his older brother, I think he was the older brother.
Older brother, yeah.
Was the first class. So it's like, okay, he had to bring him into the fold. Like, oh, let me take you to the where I learned how to hone my powers and all this crap, which I thought was cool. I was like, it was cool. But Sophie Turner as Jean Grey, I agree. There is something off with that character. And I don't know if it's because of Game of Thrones, they just did it due to popularity. I do get she is a real redhead. So it's like, okay, great. But I think it could have been somebody else. I honestly, but I mean, if you're going to go with this young, then it does make sense. I mean, I can't see who else. I mean, there's thousands of other actresses at the time that they could have chose, but you're going to go with the hottest hand, just like Holly Berry as Storm. Like, who the hell wanted that one? Like, really? But yeah, I agree with you guys. Beast, I did not like Beast in this one. He doesn't look good in this one.
And he doesn't do anything.
No, he does not look good when he turns into Beast. I don't mind him as Hank. He looks good as Hank. When he goes into Beast, I'm like, wait a minute. The best version of Beast was in the second one. Was it Days of Futures Past?
He's looked different in all three movies. How does that happen? Does he look different every time?
I agree. I think he looks way better in part 2 than the way they did to him in 3. Nightcrawler was my boy.
I liked him.
I liked him. Yeah. I don't know who the actor is.
Cody Smith McPhee is the actor. He's good.
I thought he was really good. I was like, you know what? We had Adam Cumming. Now we got my man, whoever he is. I was like, he's pretty good. The only thing that threw me off was the damn Michael Jackson Thriller jacket. But I was like, where did you get it from? Because at the time, the only person that had it was Michael Jackson, unless he went to Neverland Ranch and stole it and poofed out. That would have been funny. But I was like, it's okay. Jubilee didn't
do
much.
She doesn't even talk. But she doesn't even have any lines.
Yeah. Quicksilver was pretty cool. Yeah. We didn't bring him up, but I like Quicksilver. He was pretty cool.
Yeah, he was cool.
Yeah, he was cool.
I wish they used him better. but that's okay.
Yeah. He's better in the other one.
He does the same exact same thing in the first movie. It's yeah. Well, we'll wait for action scenes.
Yeah, that's pretty much where that lands on. But okay, I gave it a 4. Nate gave it a 4. Harrison gave it a 3.5,
yep.
I believe.
Yep.
Yes. Okay, all right. Let's get to the main villain, which is Oscar Isaac, right? He's Apocalypse. He's the main big guy, which is the dark side to the DC characters, I believe.
This is a big villain. This is like the big
okay.
Besides Magneto. Yeah. All right. Like X-Men.
All right, Nate, you take over on this one.
All right, let's start a couple things. Number one. I love Oscar Isaac as an actor. I think he's great. I really do. Almost everything I see him in, I enjoy him. Just start with that. I do not like him in this movie. They should have not casted him in this movie. As a matter of fact, not only should they have not casted him, they didn't need to cast an actor of any note. All they needed was a voice, okay? If you think back to a movie we haven't done, but think back to Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer. He was a CGI guy, right?
Lawrence Fishburne.
And it was Lawrence Fishburne's voice. And the voice was great. Yeah. He didn't do no mocap, nothing. He just did a voice. And then Doug Jones, who's Guillermo del Toro's like number one, you know, guy, he did the body.
They could have.
Yeah. He was he's been in like all. Yeah. He's the fish guy in Hellboy. They should have done something like that because there's literally, the guy's blue. He doesn't have any personality. You know what I mean? And Oscar Isaac's voice is not the right voice that I picture when I think of Apocalypse. It should be deeper. It should be bigger. It should be. So I think they should have went that route, to be honest. I would have been cool with just any old guy because Oscar Isaac looks like himself for about 35 seconds in the beginning of the movie. And then he's blue. So I don't like him as a casting choice. Now, the actual character. I think for his powers are awesome. I like the explanation of that he basically reincarnates himself in someone else's body. And when he does that, he gains their powers. So he's done it multiple times. So he has multiple different types of powers. That's a great. Okay. Yeah, that's great. And it's great executed. But let's really think about what does Apocalypse do in this movie? He gets buried for 4,000 years or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
He wakes up from his burial because some people start doing a weird prayer and then he comes out, right? And when he comes out, he's like, what is this world? I don't know. I'm going to watch TV and learn
He did. They didn't do the chant to get him out.
Yes, they did. They were praying.
No, Mora left the carpet open and the sun hit the thing.
No, yeah, but she's the one who let him people out. Were down there doing all that weird. That's why she even went down there.
The Kali Ma
stuff. Yeah, the Kali Ma stuff. So, yeah, but what triggered it was the sun.
It was going to happen. So anyway, he comes out. He's like, I'm learning. And then, you know what he does? He goes around. He gathers mutants to do all the
powerful mutants.
Powerful. Archangel. Powerful. Give me a break. He got beat up by in the stupid cage.
Wink.
He sucks. And then at the end, he tries to do the transference again. And then he gets beat by multiple X-Men. And then, of course, Jean Grey Phoenix, which I'm going to have in storyline. So he doesn't really do much. I think he looked cool. He should have been bigger. It should have been someone else. I gave him a 2. This should have been a 5. This should have been a 5. And it's a hard 2 for me.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, Harrison, break it down.
Yeah. Well, I also gave him a 2. In the cartoon, Apocalypse was a pretty, popular villain. I didn't watch too many of it, but I remember like it was a big deal that he was coming to the show, right? And I feel like not only was he not a menacing villain, but he's a totally useless villain if you really think about it.
Yeah.
Because he's supposedly the most powerful mutant ever, right? And yet he gets defeated super easily by 5 X-Men who just shoot their powers at him and then he disintegrates like a little bug. Like, what is this? It's like a can of Raid that they're spraying him with, you know? It's like, what is this? This is terrible. And I just think he got defeated way too easily. He's not that menacing. And I agree. Oscar Isaac, I think, was miscast. It should have been like a big dude. Like if he was still alive, like a Michael Clark Duncan or, someone like that, I think would have been amazing.
100%.
You know?
100%. He would have been. Yeah. Remember, he was Kingpin in Deadpool and Daredevil. Uh-huh. He was awesome. He would have been a better Apocalypse, honestly.
Yeah. You got to have someone with a deep baritone voice, you know? Oscar Isaac does not have that. No,
he's not big enough.
It was awful.
Apocalypse is like a tiny, big, large guy.
Yeah, like Thanos, Darkseid. He's one of those type of characters.
Yes. Yeah.
So, no, yeah, I hated it. I thought it was terrible.
And Harrison, you made a great point real quick, Alex, before you go. You guys want to know something that don't make no dang sense? First of all, he transfers his body or his consciousness into a pretty much Wolverine because the guy has healing powers, right? Mm. And in X-Men 3, and I know this is like a different universe, but in X-Men 3, Wolverine's the only one who could defeat Phoenix because of his healing powers. And yet this guy, he just gets blown away. He can't heal himself. He can't do it anymore. Blown away. I hate it. I'm about to lower to a one if I talk anymore. So, Alex, you go ahead.
No, well, look, I agree with you guys 100%. I gave it a two. One, he looks doofy as hell, bro. Oscar Isaac, there's some shots that he looks doofy when he looks at the camera. And it's like, it did not work. And it's funny because I showed my wife because she goes, "Who's Apocalypse?" And I was like, "You want to really see who Apocalypse is?" And when I showed her the photo of the big version, she goes, yeah. "What?" Like, that has nothing to do. I was like, yeah. And you know, I would like to say this now because a lot of people bitched about Zack Snyder's Darkseid. And I'm like, at least that was more comic accurate Darkseid in the Zack Snyder Justice League compared to what we got with Apocalypse. Like,
yeah, he looks like Darkseid.
Darkseid was huge.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And yeah. He was voiced by Ray something. I think it was Ray Parker or some
and
voice
Thanos
actor.
Looked big in Avengers. He was really
Thanos
big.
Thanos too.
Yeah.
Yeah. They went CGI route, which didn't hurt. I mean, fine. But anyway, let's get to this dude. I agree. He stunk. He was garbage. He was horrible. All he did was, "Let me amplify your powers." And then he just generated more energy for them. And they were like, ooh, Olivia Munn looked like a cosplayer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I will say that because she is not a good actress. No. I don't know why they keep casting this lady on. She was horrible in Predator. She was horrible in every other freaking movie I've seen her in. She is gorgeous, but
that's why they
to
cast
put her.
Her
as Psylocke, I was just like, you needed to get somebody that fights like Psylocke, that looked like Psylocke, and hopefully could act like Psylocke. But this looked like a cosplay. That's the problem with X-Men movies. When you miscast these characters, they look like cosplayers. You're like, oh man, they look. Storm, I'll say this with Storm, because she's evil Storm now. She's not X-Men Storm. She was great, because I did like the mohawk, because I was like, all right, that's pretty cool. I was like, I like her powers. They gave her the wing cape thing on her thing. And I was like, you know what? That's actually pretty cool. And I liked that she had her damn accent, which it was not the Halle Berry English. Like, I was just like, okay, cool. And it was a little backstory that she was from Cairo. You know, I mean, in the X-Men, I think she was in Brooklyn and Harlem. But in this one, they went straight origin that she was in Cairo. And I was like, all right, cool. We got at least Storm in there, the actual Storm. So honestly, out of the four horsemen or whatever you want to call them, Storm was the best one. Honestly, hands down, Storm. So,
Archangel looks way cooler in the comics than he did in this movie. He's blue
horrible.
And bald and the metal wings were cooler. This guy looked like he looks like such a pansy. And then he just gets some new tattoos. And I'm like,
well, it was
still
the apocalypse thing that he had on his face, which was stupid. I mean, they were rocking Metallica Four Horsemen when they went to pick him up drinking. And I was like, come on, bro. Like, you really went down that road with Metallica Four Horsemen. But I was like, it is what it is. But yeah, I wasn't feeling it. And, I mean, I gave it a two. But like I said, I did not like. And the scenes that he fought Professor X. In the mind thing was kind of weird. Like, he turned white. His eyes turned white. That shit was weird.
So, in the comics and in the cartoon, his eyes are just white all the time. He doesn't even have eyes. He's just got white eyes.
Okay.
So, that part actually was okay. That at least they tried for comic book. But also, he only turned big in the dream mind. World, but in real life, he could, well, in real life, he didn't need to be in it. He would always turn big. Like, he could turn himself big. He could turn his arm into, like, a drill. He could do, so, like, he had a lot of other powers that they didn't even go with in this movie, honestly.
All right, well, I give it a two. It's a two across the board here. Yeah. Let's get to the action sequence here. All right, Harrison, take it over.
All right, so I'll start off here. I like the action in Days of Future Past a little bit more, but that's not saying that this action was bad. I actually, as much as I hated how easily he was defeated, it was a pretty awesome action scene. I'm not going to lie. Like, that whole sequence with, like, Psylocke and all of them just fighting each other. I thought that was really cool, so I gave that a 4 out of 5. I do wish we had more, though. I mean, you know, the weight of Days of Future Past, you know, like Magneto's coming with the giant stadium and could kill the president and all of that. Like, there's a lot of weight to those scenes. Even though the world's about to end in this, I feel like there wasn't that much weight to it. Like, I'm pretty sure there were missiles in space, right? Were they deactivated?
Yeah.
I was like, I thought they were going to come down or something.
No,
but
he sent them out
no,
there
no,
to
no,
deactivate.
They deactivated. Yeah.
Okay. Because for a while, I was like, aren't there missiles coming? Like, why is no one worried about this?
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't know. I felt there was more weight to the action in Days of Future Past than in this one. This one just felt like, okay, let's throw everybody together. Like, I don't know, like you're playing with your action figures or whatever, or even the cartoon and whatnot. So, yeah.
You know what?
4 out of 5.
You just made a great point, Harrison. And this is one of the, to me, this is probably the strength of this movie, in my opinion, rewatching it now. But also there's a negative. There's a negative that comes along with it. The positive is, I agree 100%. This, and I'm okay with that. I used to collect X-Men action figures, and I was that kid who used to sit in my room and literally make them fight and have them jumping. And this felt like that, especially in the third act. You got Psylocke and Angel fighting, Storm is fighting. Like, this is something that hasn't happened in, it doesn't happen that often in all the movies before this, where you just get straight up X-Men fighting bad guys. And I appreciate that. You get, like, Cyclops actually gets to do stuff. He gets to use his beam.
Yeah, with his laser beam.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, I actually enjoy the action in that regard. Also, the Wolverine scene is fantastic. I don't care. I know it's a cameo, but there's freaking blood splattering on the wall, and I'm for it. It was violent, and I loved it. It was a cool cameo, too, because you got to remember, like, this reset the timeline. Well, the last movie reset the timeline. So this is a different Wolverine. He still is Weapon X, and he looks... I wish they did the helmet like the comic, like the full helmet with the eyes clipped, but whatever. He still looked cool. I like that. And then the Quicksilver scene. So I like it, but I just, it's like you just redoing the same thing you did in Days of Future Past. And that one's better, in my opinion. But this one, it was cool. Like him running around the mansion and getting all the thing. It was less novel because I already seen it. You know what I mean? So I think they should have used him differently, especially in the last, you know, finale. He gets his leg broken and then he just can't do anything. So I thought the action was really good. My problem is there are a number of scenes in the finale that looks so green screen that it drives me up a wall, particularly with Psylocke. There's a part where she's like jumping and it's like sliding down this like wall or something. And then she like does this landing and then Olivia Munn, and you could, it's like, she definitely just did this in front of a big green wall but it's too obvious. It's too obvious. And there's a few moments like that where I was like, ugh, this green screen is tripping me out. So because of that, I gave it a 4. It honestly could have been a 5, but I gave it a 4.
I agree. I gave it a 4. How do we do this? Okay.
However you want.
I like the team aspect of the fights. I thought it was cool. But the minute they went to the abandoned, wherever Magneto started to rip apart the world, like that, you could tell it was the entire, it was green screen. It was like Avengers when they went to New York and they were all standing in that one spot. I was like, this is so green screen. Like you could tell they were just standing there. And that's what it felt like there. You could see that they were closed in because they kept focusing was just running straight back and forth. So for me, like that ending was cool. I mean, I don't give a crap. Every time Cyclops shot his octave beam, I was excited because that's the most action I got since even the first 3 movies when he shot it 2 times. Like, I was like, you know what? And it got me pretty amped when Beast punched him off the wall and he took it off and he just shot right into it. And I was like, oh, hell yeah. Saying that's pretty cool. Now, the Olivia Munn, horrible. She's garbage in the fight. Storm was caca too. I don't care. All she did was generate. I'm like, lady, you're a storm. And they keep giving her wind and lightning. I'm like, she could have easily defeated these guys with all her powers. I mean, easy. But the cool thing I liked about it is that when she started to fight them together, they were just dominating. Beast, Cyclops, and Jean Grey. She was like, holy crap. Like, she got scared when Beast threw the car right back at them. And I was like, all right, that's pretty cool. Yeah. Until Psylocke was like, we got to break them up. Because she knew, oh, damn, they're going to whoop our asses if they're together. So I was like, I like that part. Professor X fighting Apocalypse. I thought it was cool because it's the most Professor X fight I think I've seen in the movie. Because we never see him fight even in the dream world, like inside his mind. So I was like, you know what? Kudos to that. Because it reminded me a little bit of Scarecrow Serum when he's messing up with people's minds and you get to see him like all big and creepy. And I was like, okay, I can see that, how they decided to do that. So that I gave it kudos. Oh man, I'm trying to think like the Wolverine. Let me just tell you something about Wolverine, bro. They should have kept his ass in the movie. I'm telling, they should have, because when I saw him walking down that hallway, I was like, first of all, I forgot about that scene. Because I'm like, I was like, who's in the cage? And then all of a sudden, when it opened and I saw feet, I was like, no, is it Woofy?
You know what's funny?
I was like,
it's one of the only things I remembered about this.
I didn't remember it.
I was like, oh, Wolverine's coming. They're in the facility. It's coming.
I totally blanked out that he was in the movie until he came out and he just started blood everywhere. I was like, is this a rated R movie? Because was just like, geez, loved it. I was like, Jean Grey should have just hit the mine and be like, yo, hang out with us.
Yeah. We are your friends, remember? Hang out with us. Nope.
Right, I thought that was, and look, Wolverine was pretty cool. Nightcrawler did some stuff, but didn't do much. Beast was garbage. I'm trying to think of all the characters that, oh, the Quicksilver scene. I kind of like the scene. Yeah. I kind of like the scene. And I this is because I think that's the problem with speedsters in movies. The problem is that since he's a super, just like the Flash, compared to him, the Flash has lightning all over the place when he runs to be different from Quicksilver in the Marvel. That's why they did the whole speeding super fast going everywhere. Like, yeah, the Flash could do the same thing, but they gave you lightning. So I'm like, it's okay. And the same thing with the Flash. If you break his leg, he ain't nothing else he could do. And that's the thing. It takes him, I think it's like a day or two to reheal. Like the Speed Force reheals him like super quick. So in terms of your thing, Nate, I think that's the problem with speedsters in movies is that there's nothing more they could do.
I will say, so, at least Flash, like in his movie, yeah, when he does the slow-mo, fast-mo thing, it's kind of like this. But at least in that movie, he had moments where like you said, even with the lightning coming off him or him generating speed and then being able to have lightning or make a tornado. Like, he does all this guy can do is that thing that he does. Yeah. run fast and move stuff around.
I don't know if he phases. I don't know.
No, he vibrates, but he doesn't phase.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, okay. I did like the one part, though. When they blow up the school, right? Yeah. And he takes Beast and he runs out and then he grabs the girl. He goes...
Yeah. Yes. I like the song choice, but
I hated that they killed Scott Summers. I mean, sorry, Alex.
Oh yeah,
that made no. I was like, wait a minute. I was like, why did they kill him? I was like, it made no damn sense.
I don't care that they killed him because he was kind of useless, but I don't like that he died like just literally just off screen. Like, oh.
Yeah, you don't even see him.
Yeah, he was standing next to the bomb or the explosion. Oh, I guess he's dead then. I guess that's that.
Look, other than that, I gave it a 4. I liked it. I thought the action was pretty cool. And Magneto was actually pretty cool in this, too.
Always.
I know that's more storyline, but in this one, I actually kind of liked he had the damn bubble that's around him. We never got to see that in any other movies, the magnetic field, I guess, right?
Yeah.
It's in the magnetic field. Like
electromagnetic, pulsates. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, wait a minute. I was like, this is actually pretty cool. All right. Storyline. Let's get to storyline. Harrison, take it away.
Oh, all right. Well, I gave this a 2 out of 5.
Whoa!
My score for this is all over the place because this movie is all over the place.
Tell him about it. Tell him about it, Harrison.
Look, I'm not a huge X-Men connoisseur, per se. Like, I don't know a whole lot about the comics or the movies, really. But I gotta tell you, man, I think Days of Future Past was the perfect ending to both of these storylines. Because in that one, we see the X-Men go off in the sunset. You know, Mystique is no longer a bad guy. That kind of sets that storyline. And then in the other one, Wolverine, he's back with Jean Grey and Scott, all that. So to me, that's a perfect ending. But now they have this movie. And with this movie, there are so many things that don't add up. Like so many, plot holes. Like, I've never understood this. How old are Xavier and Magneto supposed to be, right? Because if we think about this, this is in the 80s, right? This is 20 years after the events of First Class, right? But for some reason, they look younger here than Xavier does in First Class, which takes place a couple years before this. So it makes no sense. The timeline that they messed up with Days of Future Past has always frustrated me. And this movie just continues that. I mean, I have so many things here. We don't have enough time, of course.
I think they're in their 40s.
No, there's no way. There's no way.
What do you mean?
Because they got to be in their 50s at least.
Yes, because the beginning of First Class, it was like 1944 or something. 1943.
Right. Yeah.
And Xavier and him are like at least 10 years old. They're kids, 10 or 11. Yeah. So that would make them in the 80s in their 50s. And they look like they're 35.
No, Magneto look older.
Michael
he looks
Fassbender,
way older.
I don't even think he's 50 right now in real life. He don't look 50.
Michael Fassbender is in his...
There's no way, bro. There's no way he's 50. Unless,
I'm telling you, his makeup.
Oh, he wears makeup?
Well, they all do in movies.
Yeah, I know, but I mean...
It's not like their natural look when they go off screen.
He's 46 now.
Okay, so he's about to be 50.
Bro, this movie, he was 39. In real life when he made this movie. He doesn't look 50.
But they must have made it up or did something.
No, I agree with Harrison. He's 100% right. The timeline is horrible in these movies. It doesn't make sense.
It's all over the place. And one more thing I'll add, then I'll be done here. I just have too much to share on this podcast. But
tell us. No, go ahead. I'll keep it short. Go ahead.
Okay. I hate that I have to read this, but whatever. Okay, here's an issue I have, right? Stryker, right? Okay, Origins, yes, I know that was erased with Days of Future Past, but that takes place 4 years before this movie does. So why does Stryker look like he's 25 years old?
Yeah, I thought he looked like an older Stifler.
He does look like Stifler's older brother.
Yes. It doesn't make any sense. My wife's like, oh, maybe it's the son. I was like, no, the son's in a wheelchair. You don't understand.
Yeah,
Jason.
He's a mutant.
Yeah, he's a mutant. And just, I hate the timeline of this. So everything after this is just totally ruined. Mm. And why did they use Apocalypse on these new cast? I know it's the same characters, but it's basically a whole new series, right? Mm-hmm. Why would you do that? Why would you waste one of the biggest characters on this? He should have been the villain in like Last Stand or something like that. You know, like Magneto, all of them getting together to fight against Apocalypse. Like that's what brings them all together. No, we get wasted here in this terrible movie with this terrible timeline, this terrible series. I'm done. I was not looking forward to this. I'm glad I'm here. Thank you for inviting me on, but this movie is awful. 2 out of 5.
2 out of 5. All right, Nate, storyline.
I mean, Harrison said it very well. He said it very well. He covered all the bases here. There's a very foreshadowing statement that's made in this movie where they're leaving the movie theater from watching Return of the Jedi, and Jean Grey looks over and says, I think we could all agree, the third one's always the worst. And wouldn't you know it, this is the third one of the new series, and it is the worst of these new movies so far. Harrison, I'm glad you said it because I was about to go off on this timeline. There's one character who it makes sense for, and that's Mystique. Because in First Class, Hank says her cells, they don't age. They don't show age, basically, the way everyone else's do. So I could believe her for any age. Wolverine. Yeah, Wolverine, yeah, same Wolverine, thing.
Of course.
No big deal. No problem at all. Do what you want. Literally everyone else should be aging at a normal rate. And they're not. Like, these movies, I understand what they wanted to do. Every movie was in a different decade. So you had 60s, then the 70s, then the 80s, and then the next movie set in the 90s, and guess what? They all still look the same. You know, it just doesn't make... Their ages, they never bring it up because it wouldn't make any sense. It wouldn't make any sense at all. You know, this guy, Xavier, was in college in the, you know, early 60s. So, yeah, he should be...
Probably the 50s.
Oh, in the 50s. I'm sorry, yeah, in the 50s. So he should be, you know, he should be a lot older. They all should be a lot older than they are. Either way, with that aside... There's exactly one story element in this movie that I like, and it is Magneto going in with the woods, with the family, creating a I actually loved it. I loved it because Michael Fassbender's been the best part of these movies for the most part throughout the whole series. And to see him, he's trying to be normal. He's got a wife. He's got a daughter. He literally saves a guy. He doesn't even like people. And he saves a guy. And what do? They report him. The cops come. They end up killing. And at that point, I was watching this by myself. But if I was watching it with someone, I would have looked over at them and said, I now agree with him. He should just kill everybody. Just kill them all. Because I empathized with him. And I think one thing this movie gets right is Magneto and the empathy towards his character. And beyond that, yeah, Apocalypse, this was a waste. This was an absolute waste. I honestly think they shouldn't have touched him. If this is what they were going to do, they shouldn't have even used him. He is a final boss. He's not a, you know, part three boss, and you know you're going to make another one probably. I don't know. It was his whole storyline's crap. And again, you spend a lot of time doing nothing in the first hour. Literally the first hour, you're just meeting people. Like, you're meeting new X-Men and you're meeting villains. That's all you do for an hour. And then the story kicks in. So I also gave it a 2. And the 2 is strictly for Magneto's little storyline that he gets, because everyone else, I didn't like even the Professor X and Moira stuff. It's like, it's too late for this. You blew it. You had the movie in between. She wasn't even in it. I don't care anymore.
So I gave it a 2, but you know, to be really honest with you, I mean, I agree with everything you guys are saying, but this is still more entertaining than Last Stand. Like, I can't sit and watch Last Stand, like, at all. Last Stand is bad. X-Men 3, the older one,
I don't know.
No good. Like, I think I mean, like, for it, me, I think it's a better storyline. I thought the storyline, all right, well, because because there's a lot of subplots in this movie. I didn't like the apocalypse subplot, but I kind of understood why they did it, is to get Jean Grey's Dark Phoenix again out somewhere, somehow. But again, the only one that could defeat him was Dark Phoenix. So that's the only reason why they brought out Apocalypse. That's the only way you could see it in the movie.
I hate that.
I mean, that's the way they did it. They were like, wait, the only way we could defeat this guy is by...
Stupid idea.
You know... Like, and again, we keep referencing to the Justice League, but with the Justice League, they beat the crap out of Steppenwolf, and they went like, Darkseid, you come to Earth, this is exactly what's going to happen to you. You're going to get your ass beat. And I kind of like that. They should have did something like that. They should have had Apocalypse's second in command, whoop his ass, and then Apocalypse shows up. Like, all right, let's see what you guys are all about. They're all
Let the four
older,
horsemen do all
team.
The work. Let the four horsemen do all the work, and he's lurking. Yeah. That's fine.
No, I agree.
They couldn't do that.
Yeah. But then you see the problem is that now you don't get Darkseid versus Justice League. Well, that's the problem.
But we have another movie.
No. But you do got Dark Phoenix, though. But look, in all, like, in terms of storyline, like, I agree. The Magneto one was the best one out of all of them because you kind of felt bad. But it was like, still did it to himself because he knew what was going to happen once everyone found out that he had powers. Like, it was like a written on the wall. It was just like destiny was gonna strike to this guy. That's why he cursed to the heavens when he's like, I did everything you wanted me to do. And he still got cursed. So, but I do like evil Magneto though. When Charles was like, it's still good in you. And he was like, man, that shit buried when I buried my kid.
No, it ain't.
And I'm gonna do it. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good scene.
Yeah. That was really good, but he still had good in him because he was thinking about him and Charles. They should have had him playing, like when he was thinking about them, they should have had them playing chess together and then have a little, because they're always playing chess, like him walking and giving him those lines. I was like, this is stupid. They should have had one that is them hanging out playing chess, like laughing. Yeah. Like them happy moments together. But look, I don't know, I'm trying to think, like Cyclops meeting Wolverine in the, like, that was pretty cool, but now it kind of felt kind of weird because he fell in love with a younger chick.
Yeah.
Well, if you really think about
she was always younger because he was born in like the 1800s.
No, that's, I know that point, but I'm just saying, like, in this point, in this time period, I was just like, this kind of feel kind of funky.
He didn't love her yet. She just unlocked his mind and he ran into the woods.
But which mind did
he might come back in 20 years and love her, but she'll be 40. Well, she's supposed to be 40. She'll probably still be 19. Yeah. No matter what.
I mean, I guess. I mean, look, it's a two. I mean, look, it is all over the place, but there was some nuggets of goodness.
I agree.
Throughout. Like, nuggets. I'm not going to say it was like really, really bad. There was some nuggets here and there if it was done really right. But all right, two. Overall, Harrison.
Overall, I gave it a 3. You know, I used to absolutely hate this movie. This time around, I only somewhat hate this movie. I think there are some good elements. Like, I do like the Quicksilver scene, and I do like a lot of the action scenes. But again, they wasted Apocalypse, and the timeline continuity thing bothers me so much.
Mm.
Now, if this was an individual film all on its own, not part of a series, it might have been a little bit better. I don't know. And a point in its favor, you know, unlike the modern MCU movies that you have to watch like 5 TV shows to understand one movie, this one, you could get away without having to watch any of the other X-Men movies.
Oh, yeah.
Because they give little hints to the other ones, not full-on plots, you know. So I guess that's a point in its favor. But yeah, it's just okay. It's meh. 3 out of 5.
You know, this is going to sound weird, but I gave it the same score somehow. I gave it a 3. I wrote down 3. I think I agree with you. I think there's a lot of messiness about this movie, but there's a couple things I will praise. One, I think, again, I like all of the casting except for Sophie Turner and Oscar Isaac. I love the girl who plays Storm in this. I thought she was great. And I love everybody else in this. Again, Magneto storyline, great. Scott, love Ty Sheridan. I actually liked him. I like that Cyclops has lines in this movie and has a plot and has something
actually
to do.
Does something. Thing.
Yes, because even though he's not my favorite X-Men, I feel like he's been disrespected in every single other X-Men movie that ever was. Beast, horrible, because I always loved Beast, and he does nothing in this movie. Like, I'm thinking right now, what did he do? And it's not much. He flew the plane. That was it. He flew the plane. He does it. He throws a car. That's it. That's all he does. He doesn't do much. He doesn't do anything.
No.
And Mystique, don't get me started on. I don't understand. I know that it's because they cast Jennifer Lawrence, but I hate that they tried to make her like such a focal point of this series. Like, she's not that important of a character in the cartoon, in the, as far as I know, in the comics. Like, she's a long lasting villain, but she's not like a main villain that you need a lot of story for. And she always has way too much screen time, too much story. Xavier wants her back so bad all the time. She never wants to be blue. She, you know, like, it's like, enough. Okay, you don't want to be blue. Like, we've been going through this for 3 movies already. I'm tired of it. But I do think the movie looks, I actually think it looks really good. And I don't just, like, the 4K looks great, but there's some stuff in this that looks great. I love the set design. I love the, besides some of the green screen, some of the other outdoor stuff I thought was filmed really well. I think it looks nice. I think the music's good. So, you know, the technical stuff is there. Magneto is always fun to watch. I mean, it's watchable. My main problem is that it's too long. 2.5 hours, way too long. This should not be. And I, last, Alex, this is what really pisses me off. You ready? This is what pisses me off.
Go ahead.
I don't understand these movies, all of them. I'm talking first series and this series. I don't understand the obsession with getting to the Phoenix so quickly every single time. That should be literally the 7th movie. You should have made 6 X-Men movies and in the 7th one been like, Jean is the Phoenix is coming, and because that's a whole saga. You can make 2 whole movies out of that, really, if they did it correctly. But no, the first one, at least in the first one, they waited till the end of part 2 to hint at it. Here, she's literally in the movie for 2 hours and then she's Phoenix already. The bird comes out, fire comes, and I'm like, oh my God, why? Why do we have to rush the Phoenix? It's never good because they rush it every time. So that's derogatory. But a 3, I guess. It's like, it's okay. I put it on par with part 3. I know you said 3 is worse. I would actually watch 3 ahead of this because at least it's 40 minutes shorter than this. So, but I think they're kind of equal.
Good point.
Yeah. Well, I gave it a 3, but I really like this movie. It's weird to say. Like, I hated the plots and everything, but one thing is that Bryan Singer does know his damn X-Men. I know this one could be the worst one or whatever, but it's shot very well. Yes. The 4K looks amazing. I don't care what anyone. This is sharp. It is clear. It is very well done. That last scene where all of them standing together in danger room.
In the danger room.
And my man Cyclops has the comic book costume on. I say hell to that mother effing yeah. I was like, you damn right you got me on this one.
Sick now, in this.
The goggles were awesome. It wasn't yellow like the traditional one.
Like silver. Stuff, but looked dope.
I liked it though because everyone had their poses. Nightcrawler went rah.
Yeah. And Mystique had kind of the dress, but not really. Like the white. It looked like the comic book dress. So that was kind of cool. I agree with you.
All right. Let's get to Mystique quick because I didn't talk about Mystique. I don't understand why she had to give the damn pep talk. Like, I was like, I do understand what you mean. She was a big actress. You know, Hunger Games came out. So she was big, right? It's going to sound wrong. But the only person that should have been up there giving that speech should have been Cyclops. And I would have been like, you know what, man? His brother died. And this is the opportunity my man to come out and be like, the leadership of Cyclops should have came out right there and then. But no, it was Mystique, which I didn't understand.
Or Beast. He's been there with Professor X since the beginning.
Yeah, but I think Cyclops would have been way more better. Because I think the crowd would have got into it because it would have been the main dude that's...
So, wouldn't you think, like, he's still kind of young? He'd been there for, like, 3 weeks at the school. I mean, it shouldn't have been Mystique. I agree with you on that. It should not have been her. Yeah. What is she doing there? She's a bad guy.
I don't understand it because it's... This is the problem I got with Jennifer Lawrence. She's hot.
Okay.
She's hot as Mystique. But the problem is that we all know she's a villain. But these damn movies make her into an anti-villain. It's like, oh, I don't want to be an X-Men, but for today, I'm going to be an X-Men. Oh, yeah. I don't want to be hanging out with you guys in that school, but today, I want to eat in that school. It's like, you can't have it both ways. Magneto's the only one that could go in and out of that school because he's best friends with the damn professor. Mystique gave that away. She went with Eric. So it's like, why does she always have to come back and forth? It's like, oh, are you back? No, I'm not back. Then at the end, we got our war suits. We're going to war. And then Cyclops is like, well, yeah. I don't, yeah. And then it's like, she's like, and then Cyclops is like, oh, I can't, I don't know how to use my octave blast. And she goes, you don't need to, just let it all out. And I'm like, oh, coming from you when you're not blue half the damn movie. I was like, great speech there, Doc.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's just, I didn't like the Jennifer Lawrence. Like, I was just like, this is so dumb. Coming from the wrong, she's not even an X-Men.
She's not. She's a bad guy.
She's not an X-Men. But anyway, Total points, Harrison.
Well, because I have the half point, it's a 14.5 out of 25.
Whoa. Classic. All right, Nate.
Love a good half point score. I haven't done one of those in a while. I'm a 15. I like it a half a point better because of the lead. But otherwise, we were pretty much in sync on our scores.
Oh, we mad in sync like the band, because I'm at a 15.
Yeah.
I'm with Nate on this one. Yeah, I'm at a 15 on this. I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. Honestly, look.
You saying watchable crap? You're throwing it in the watchable crap?
We could throw it in the watchable crap. And I will say this, though. I still wanted more X-Men after it was done.
Okay.
It was not the other one.
I'm still ready to go to Dark Phoenix.
I'm not tired of it.
Yeah.
I'm not tired of Bryan Singer keeps sucking me in, regardless of how bad it is. I was like, wait a minute. I want to pop
watch
this
the post-credit
scene? I want more. Oh, wait, there was?
There is, yeah.
Yes, and it introduced something that was going to be awesome, and then they didn't even do it in the next movie. So
okay, what did they do?
So they go into the facility with William Stryker's facility, and these guys in suits, and they're coming in, and they got all their little, they're collecting the vials of like stuff, genetics, you know, science, and they have jars full of science.
You know science.
Then the guy says something, and when he closes the briefcase, it says Essex Corp, which is, of course, the villain is Mr. Sinister from the X-Men. The guy who's like all white, and he has that diamond on his head. And apparently, I saw this whole YouTube thing about, like, there's a whole X-Men storyline where Mr. Sinister, like, kills everything, everybody. Like, he's another one that's like a powerful, powerful mutant, and he's not in the next movie. So it was kind of a waste. Like, why did you even put this as a post-credit scene? Because you didn't even do anything.
Mr. Sinister, he's the one with the blue and the little.
It looks like he has a cape, and he's got blue eyes, white face.
With the red, he has like red.
Red
I know it's like red
and
blue.
Red diamond on his.
Yeah, he looked kind of freaky dicky.
He looks awesome.
He looks kind of sinister.
Yeah, Mr. Sinister, and Cyclops is one of the only ones who can like do anything against him. So it would have been cool. Perfect. You would have got your movie, but he's not even in the next movie. So forget about it. Good thing you didn't see the post-credit scene. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, because I would have been more pissed. What is this crap? All right, we got 15. Me and Nate got 15. Harrison got the 14.5. All right, Nate, what is coming up next?
All right, next week, or next episode, I should say, we got another special guest. His name is Harrison. He's going to be here again for our next episode. We're kicking off a new month. We have aerial action films. These are action films that are mostly based in the sky, for the most part, airplanes and such. And it will be Midway, will be our first movie there. And then, of course, Alex, we finally have come to the end of the road, like Boys to Men. We've made it to the end of the road. X-Men, Dark Phoenix, it's the last one. This, you want to talk about divisive. You want to talk about controversial. Dark Phoenix is the one. And I'm actually very much looking forward to talking about it. So that'll be our final X-Men movie. And then we start a new series after that, which I'll tell you next week.
Well, it's funny because I remember coming out of the theater on that one and I liked it. I was like, you know what? I kind of like
it. Well, you
know,
since we're not talking about the movie, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
So did I. So I don't know.
Ooh. Well, I'm glad you're not having me on.
Harrison is not going to be on that episode. He's not going to be
Harrison
on that
episode. Harrison has like two paper sheets.
I haven't watched it since the theater, but I remember everyone hating it way more than me. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, I agree on that one. Yeah. All right, Harrison, let everyone know where they can find you.
Yeah, so again, Harrison Scullin at Really Old Movies. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Letterboxd, Rumble, everywhere at Really Old Movies.
All right, there you have it, guys. Anything action movie, guys, head over to our official website at www.geeksandflicks.com for all thing action movie, guys. Our live streams every other Monday. Our movie reviews, unboxings, whether it's statues or 4K collectibles. But other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
And thank you to our special guest, Harrison. And be awesome to each other and geek out.